With the launch of Apple's new streaming service, Apple TV Plus, this week we're looking at the future of TV, what's going to happen to traditional broadcasting, and how that will affect TV and film production. Hi there, I'm Jim Hope, and this is the Media Labs podcast. This week I'm joined by Carl Hugh, Lee Underwood, Bart Gash, and Chris Smith. So, just a quick highlight of what's gone on this week. So, Apple have released their new TV streaming service, which some of you might like the idea of, others maybe not.
There's actually more companies trying to do so, as well as Disney. I'm not sure if you are aware.
Yeah, Disney are releasing their own as well, aren't they?
Yeah. They're going to.
So that's due in the next 12
months.
Now I
can't watch The Mandalorian because I refuse to pay like another 20 quid a month just so I can watch The Goddamn Mandalorian. Cheers, Disney!
We've already got a fair number of them. I've got some notes here on Apple's new TV thing for those that don't know about it. So it's going to launch this autumn. It's got original content from directors such as J.J. Abrams, M. Night Shyamalan, John M. Chow and Steven Spielberg, with artists such as Oprah Winfrey, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Octavia Spencer, Jason Momoa, among others. So it's been intended to integrate with Apple's Apple TV app, which is then going to be put onto Roku, Android devices, all that stuff.
And maybe even free for Apple users.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
The pricing's not been released on that yet, so it's a bit up in the air.
But that's the speculation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Which would be quite nice for me, being an Apple user. I can get to see some of this original content.
That does actually seem, just from what you read, your list of names there, it seems like a genuine, decent bit of
TV,
doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm quite impressed that they've got Spielberg on board for this.
Yeah.
That in itself is quite... But then there's M. Night Shyamalan, which you know every TV episode or film is going to do. The last 15 minutes will have nothing to do with the rest of the film or TV programme. So they've also got, they're partnering with companies such as Vizio, Samsung, LG and Sony to put this onto their smart TVs from the start. They're also...
Like Kyoto's on their smart TVs.
That type of thing. And also other TVs with AirPlay 2 support, you'll be able to stream from your tablet straight up to your thing, which is something else they launched at CES this year, I think it was. There's not currently known how much original content there'll be on the platform, but Apple has reportedly spent around $2 billion on content, which is nothing compared to Netflix, who have spent around $8 to $10 billion in the last year.
But Netflix is pumping out like TV shows like every month or something. Or even fewer each month of films. It's really crazy. You can't really watch it all.
Don't they also do like original films and stuff?
They still do it,
They've kind of branched out because they started off with one or two, like Apple have done here, I think. And now they've done this latest thing, which was Bandersnatch, which was the interactive TV program, which was really quite entertaining, actually.
To be fair, with Netflix, I think at least half of its content isn't that well done. It's not the best quality.
No.
So I'd rather see... better quality than quantity.
That's the thing, because what the Netflix have done with their content creators is they've gone, you have to use this equipment, but they've got no standards, if you know what I mean. They have no standard of what the production quality is going to be like, because you look at the difference between scripted and what I hate to call reality. There is a huge difference in the production value, so they've not done that.
Yeah, they must have some kind of quality control, right? But like you say,
it's not that good.
Well, I think they just want to fill up the service. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're not that bothered about quality, really.
So, well, we're quickly talking about Netflix. I've got some notes on that, too. I come prepared this week. So members can watch as much as they want, anytime, anywhere, on any internet-connected screen. So tablets, all that type of tablets, phones, computers, TVs, that type of thing. This is straight off the Netflix website, by the way. Members can play, pause, rewind, all that stuff. Formed in 1997 to offer online movie rentals by post. Introduced streaming in 2007 and costs anywhere between $5.99 a month up to $9.99 a month in the UK. That's about all the information I could find on their website. We know that they've got tons of original content, as you've just mentioned as well.
It's kind of freaky. I'm the same age as Netflix. Don't like that.
And then, of course, we've got the other major streaming provider as well, which is Amazon Prime.
Do like that.
So they have some fantastic shows on there as well, like Man in the High Castle. They've got Grand Tour, which I bet the BBC are now kicking themselves for, but there we are, that's another topic. Again, they can be played through compatible devices that are internet connected. There's more than 15,000 movie and TV episodes, cost $7.99 a month or £79 a year, which also includes the Amazon Prime benefits such as books, audiobooks, music, as well as unlimited photo storage and next day shipping. Also allows purchase of TV subscriptions. So that's the two main ones at the moment and Apple's new offering.
Question to everybody around the room, which services do you use? Mr. Hope.
I use Prime because I'm a student and I don't have to pay for it. If I had to pay for it though, I probably wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
So I'm quite glad Grand Tour's going to run out before my subscription runs out, which is quite nice.
They've
signed on for specials though, haven't they now? Like the TV thing. So I also use Netflix again.
So can you actually access the Prime exclusives without being a Prime member?
No, you can't access any of their streaming services without it.
You can access Prime items on Amazon, but you don't get them as Prime, so they cost you more, and you don't get next day delivery.
Yeah. And I use Apple stuff, so I've got Apple Music and I buy films and TV shows via Apple's iTunes store.
I only use Prime. What do you use?
Well, I use Prime, but I've had to pay the other half of the year because my student ran out, because they only give you for like half a year or something.
I still own my student.
They give you half a year for free, I think.
And then it's reduced, doesn't it?
They give you like a half.
It's really reduced for students.
But I'm actually going to get rid of mine because I didn't get the benefit. But I've gone back to being old fashioned and buying DVDs and Blu-rays again. So I've stopped doing the whole streaming thing now.
But you about?
Like everyone, Prime student is a win. And just Netflix, I guess.
Smith?
I don't personally have Prime, like Amazon. I use my stepdad's DVD player for all.
See, that's smart. Saves money and gets content.
I said to Rob, can you buy this for me? Yeah, because it comes through on his account as Prime. I use Netflix as well on the side.
So we know which one out of the five of us is the spoiled one.
I don't care for Amazon at all.
You know, it's funny that Amazon is actually selling them, like they divide the whole service into like packages. Like if you want music, they have Prime Music and have Music Unlimited, don't they? I'm not sure if they're doing something similar with video. There is like some movies that you can watch through Prime, isn't it? That are free, like free, not free, but Prime included.
Yeah.
But everything else, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, because they did the same with Audible, don't they? Which is their audiobooks platform. So
audiobooks.
One,
the other book service.
Yeah, it's something like one free book a month, or is it like three free books a month?
You also have to pay additional fee for that.
So I think it's this services thing that all the companies are now pushing.
Yeah.
Which they've kind of done, and I don't know who's taken a leaf from who on that one, because Apple have gone, well, we've already got the Apple TV, so we may as well do services for it. Whereas Amazon went the other way and went, well, we do Amazon Prime and Amazon Prime Video, so why don't we make a Fire Stick or a Fire Box or whatever?
I think Disney just went because they wanted their own content and their own price so they can make more money.
If they can take some of that hardware cost off Apple and pull it into their pockets, I think they're very happy about that. It won't be long, I don't think, till Netflix does the same thing.
Well, you say that, but it's like, on the Disney thing, they're so ardent about keeping their own things to make their own money. You know, they've pulled all the Disney, well, it's like they pulled like Clone Wars and some Marvel stuff. And
they pulled Netflix. Some from Netflix,
So they can put it on their
to prepare for their own platform.
I've heard about like some of the offerings that they've got going relating to Marvel. There's going to be separate one-offs by the actual cast of the movies doing Marvel stuff in there though. So you'll have Jason Momoa, that was DC. But you'll have like the actual actors from the movies rather than the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was like a low class thing. The only two people that you had in there, maybe three, were
Coleman,
Hill, and Fury was in there once, I think, towards the beginning. Whereas this new thing that they want to do is actually going to use all the actors that are left in the MCU after we find out what happened in the last film of the franchise of the Phase 3.
Was that to do with the Loki thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
He was the first one.
I think they're going to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, thinking about it, it's quite clever, isn't it? Because Disney builds their own streaming service, charge people whatever they want, fine, good, all that, keep all contact. But anybody that works on a Disney branded movie, they can also write into their contract saying, now you have to do something on our streaming service.
Yeah.
Which is, so then not only do they get that actor, but they get that extra and extra services off them.
Yeah, and they, because they're kind of making their own little walled garden with this, they, as you said, they get these extra services from the actors, but that means they can put more eyeballs on their service, which means less on Netflix and Prime, which means less money's going to them in the revenue share.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting how they're doing this.
Right, have you heard the news? It was from like a couple of months ago that Netflix is hoping to raise their fees.
Yeah, they've started trialling it in the UK now, haven't they? That came out a couple of
actually,
days ago.
Actually, I read an article that some people were getting different prices.
Mm-hmm.
And someone contacted Netflix about it, and they said they're just like, it's like tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, you know, see how much people are willing to pay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this news about Apple TV, it might stop Netflix from raising the prices because competition is growing.
Yeah.
And Netflix, at least up until now, it was like the largest platform of such of streaming.
Whereas Apple's got that clout and that revenue behind them to be able to turn around and go, you know what, we make $239 billion in profit every year. You know what, we're going to put a fair few billion into these recordings, into recording more content. Whereas Netflix just haven't got that. Apple have the opportunity to go, you know what, we make money off these all these other services that we don't need to put money back into. Let's chuck it into our content.
Speaking of that, technically, when you think about it, Prime have multiple money streams through Amazon, Apple has multiple money streams through Apple, Disney has multiple money streams through Disney, Netflix,
yeah.
Sony Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
So technically, they're at a massive disadvantage right now, aren't they?
YouTube/Google have kind of gone and taken a step back in this regard. They've just announced that they're going to stop making original content, yet they're still doing YouTube Premium. So what's your YouTube Premium for now? Is it just to get rid of the ads? So if you're going to pay $9.99 a month or whatever it already is that just to get rid of adverts?
No, because they're doing free trials now to get rid of adverts. But no, I don't know. I think Google pushed the boat out too far on that for me. I think to aim a streaming service at the masses, in terms of streaming service, you can get away with like £10 a month, but I think... Do you use YouTube?
Of course. Who doesn't?
You use YouTube? Like, yeah. So, 4 out of 5 of us are avid YouTuber users, and the idea, I think we all definitely sit here and agree, £10 a month or whatever to get a few prime YouTube shows and, like, no ads, it's the wrong market, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Your £10 for people on YouTube is like,
well, compared to £10 on Netflix.
Yeah, but you're getting more for Netflix than you
and
are.
The production
exactly,
quality
yeah.
is a lot higher
I think
on Netflix
it,
as well.
It depends whether or not you want to see your favourite group of YouTubers with a higher budget than your usual feed. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm. There's now that subscription thing that each channel has now that YouTube brought in. I think we mentioned it a couple of weeks back.
Nicked it off like Twitch, didn't they?
Yeah. Which I think is that how they're changing that revenue model, but I still think they'll keep premium in, but they're going to have to lower it down to maybe £1 or £2 a month.
I think that if YouTube wants to charge people for like removing ads and exclusives of some sort, they have to give money to the people who create the content first, just like Netflix does, just like Amazon does.
Yeah.
YouTube are kind of in the midst of adpocalypse, how whatever number we're on now, aren't we? I know that some YouTubers, I had a couple that brought up some like premier services, and you know, they gave you like the first episode free just as a trial to see if you liked premium, then you could have premium. And after watching it and going, well, it's good, but it's still not worth, I'd rather just stick with your normal content.
To me, well, it seems that they've done, because they didn't really go all in with this premium thing. What it seems to me, what they've done is they've basically bullied people into being paid beta testers before they pull it out onto the main platform. which in my eyes is completely wrong. They should not have done that at all, but it was the only way they were going to get an audience. But that's just Google for you, in my opinion. So this rise in video on-demand platforms is going to affect traditional broadcasting somehow. I've got a few statistics here. So these are from Ofcom, based on a 2017 report. Mainly so I don't have to keep repeating the figure 2017. So 71% of viewers were watching traditional television in 2017. Young viewers, though, watched only 46% of terrestrial television and watched the rest on video on demand services. The percentage of households with a subscription service has gone from 14% in 2014 to 39.3% in 2017, which is quite a big jump.
That's 3 years.
That's quite a big jump for 3 years.
Yeah.
The average over
the double, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's
over the double.
Yeah. 52% of houses. 52% of houses are now connect their TV to the internet, and there's an average viewing time of 3 hours and 23 minutes for that time watching traditional TV before going on to.
Just to add to that, when I was doing research for one of my essays. I approached those statistics, which shows that we, as our audience, we consuming more and more media every year. It's, you know, it's still increasing. So probably there is some room for innovation, and you know, like a growing market. But I suppose soon it will reach its limit.
Yeah. Especially with the rise of new technologies, because in the next few years we're going to get smart glasses from Apple. It's practically been confirmed. We know Google are working on that with their glass project, which they're trying to make more consumer friendly. Yeah, they're just
pretty sure Microsoft will.
Yeah,
come up
they've got their HoloLens thing, which looks like a massive bucket on your head. Which are there? Everybody's trying to scale this down, and I'm guessing Vive are going to go the same way and all that lot.
That's like slight bit off topic, but it's kind of integrated in. Free-to-air TV and the death of free-to-air TV. I am a avid football and Formula One fan, and some of you may or may not know that football in the last 10 years has gone from massively free-to-air to being only liked on Sky and BT, and now Formula One is going the same way. And it's gone from every season free to BBC to now being only on having to go to Sky, which then means BBC had to air highlight packages, which meant the death of it on BBC, which means you had to go to Channel 4 and so on and so on and so on, to now where from essentially this season in 2019 that the it's officially free to air Formula One in this country is dead in terms of live TV.
So I think that's a mistake from Formula.
Huge mistake. The massive percentage of Formula One viewership in this country is still free-to-air viewers. A lot of that is still watching, are still going to be on Channel 4 this season and a few more seasons as long as they have it, watching the highlight package because they don't want to be paying the 10. It's originally £20 a month for a Sky Formula One channel, but they've just put on a deal for the next month or so to put it down to £10 a month. So not only are you paying your Sky subscription, and if you're paying your sports subscription as a whole package, you get all the sports, or you've got to pay that extra £10 to £20 a month. And I'm thinking, as we're going the talk of what do we think is going on in TV, I think that things like Sky and BT Sports are going to be the death of free terrestrial television, apart from your stables like BBC and that, which are then going to lead to the complete death TV, which is then going to push everyone either to, you know, watch like your soaps on like normal TV, which is going to push everybody onto like your Netflix or your Amazon. So I think that it's a huge thing that things are being pushed off like terrestrial TV onto paid to services because people don't want to pay. So if they're going to have to pay something, they're going to skip the pay to watch TV and go on something like Netflix.
See, I think Bernie was right. Bernie Eccleston.
Well, that's
it. It was Eccleston, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his fault that this has happened.
Yeah, well, he left and
No, he signed all the deals.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because like, this is the first time hearing it. I thought this had happened after he'd left.
No, Liberty Media want it free to air again. But they don't want it free to air because it still gets them a load of money. So they're kind of like, what do we do?
I think they are making a huge mistake there myself. Being an F1 fan, I'm not going to pay for it. Because I can't afford it. I'm a student. I make no money.
Yeah.
So that's not going
to
happen.
But if you truly love it, you're going to have to pay into it.
Yeah.
No.
But it's. No. I'm hoping football goes the same way though, because I do not want to turn the telly on midweek and go, "Oh, I'm looking forward to watching this." Oh, it's been cancelled due to FA Cup or
they
some
won't.
Rubbish.
They won't put the FA Cup on the FA Cup's already on there, but the FA Cup is a national trophy, and they won't put it all completely on there.
See, you take away with one hand and you take away with the other. It's just not fair.
But
so, I think that's the thing, that if they're going to do it with one sport, they have to be consistent and do it with the others. But which is why
it's
I reckon
greed.
It is. They've become too corporate. Whereas before it was about the sportsmanship. Now it has become about making money. How much money can you make in such a short amount of time? Especially as they've shortened down the air times for things, making
It's actually statistically it's killing sports viewership in Formula One in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I think the German viewership marketing has gone down by like 30-40%, and that's because not only are they losing their TV rights, they're having trouble with track issues, trying to get contracts for German Grand Prix races, which has just dropped the market completely.
Right, do you know if you can watch Formula via streaming service of any kind?
You can, yes, because
They're selling, because I know you can watch
Formula One has just announced
football.
Their own Formula One app, but here's the catch: in this country you cannot get live Grand Prix highlights on the Formula One app because Sky own the rights.
So it's like the exclusive now.
Yeah, Formula One can't show live Grand Prix events on their own app to their own sport because Sky own the highlights.
Well, until the contracts or whatever.
Until the hype,
I think that we currently have so much content on the web that we'll just replace Formula with something else.
Mm-hmm.
People who doesn't want to, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit sad.
Go into bed with Sky.
Yeah.
Traditional TV, right? For you guys, what's the like the biggest thing that would. But would you would choose like a streaming service over television, traditional broadcast television?
I don't really have a choice at the moment because
no. But if you let's say you have a choice, right?
Oh, okay.
So, what would you prefer and why?
I honestly would prefer internet based because the quality. When you're relying on signals over the air, you have no control over the quality of the broadcast you're receiving or sending. There's always that gap in between where something can get in the way and ruin the signal. Whereas with internet, as long as you've got a fast enough internet connection, you can stream high quality and high resolution. So we're now.
Well, if there's no like technical problems.
Like we can now watch 4K via Netflix and everywhere else. You can't do that with Freeview, Freesat, whatever. Because the technology is just not there for it. It costs too much for them to redo it when everything, in my opinion, is going to move onto the internet anyway. For me, it's internet based.
My bias isn't that do I prefer TV or do I prefer a stream service? It's what's on the thing. So,
for you, it's content.
Yeah, if Game of Thrones, per se, was on, I don't know, BBC or Channel 4, I'd go and watch it on there over, I don't know, something on whatever. But because it's on something like Sky or Netflix or whatever, I'd rather go and watch it. It's all about content for me.
What do you think? Where would you go on that?
I'm sort of on the same verge of Carl. I do prefer broadcasting than streaming, to be honest with you. I actually like the adverts, the gaps in between. I'm a bit of a sucker for that.
I'm a bit of both. I like to, if I want to watch a programme, and if it's on the free bits, I'll go to that. I won't go onto the internet to find it. That's it.
Well, maybe I asked my question a bit wrong, but for me, traditional television and streaming services, what is the killer for me? I know you can get this functionality now on broadcast television, But for me, it's the fact that I can stop whatever I'm watching, return it 2 days later, and I can watch it whenever I want to watch it. For me, that's the killer. And I think that's what's winning, you know, audience from the, just taking...
The access on demand thing is obviously a plus, but for me, if I can watch it live, I'm more than happy to sit down and watch when it's on.
Let's say you usually don't, you might not have a, you know, chance to watch something. Let's say what's the time? 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
So let's say Game of Thrones is being, you know, it's played at 3 o'clock every Wednesday.
Yeah. You'd have to watch it on demand then, wouldn't you? Because you couldn't watch it live.
Exactly.
Unless you streamed it over, but then it's technically streaming TV over the internet.
Well,
which
kind of brings me on to my next thought. Because last year we, during our professional product, no, it was professional development.
Yeah.
We all had to pitch an idea for a company that would do something. My idea was to set up an online TV streaming.
Which was the
company.
TV van.
Yeah. Kind of. So it would be like the BBC of online. So I want to kind of just briefly talk with you guys about that. So if I could offer you the same services as BBC, ITV, Channel 4, so their services on an online platform, would you like that? So rather than having a Freeview box on top of your telly, or that you plug an aerial in from outside, or you do network cable in the back of this box, plug that into your telly or directly into your TV.
Yeah, because it's...
Would you prefer that over the air broadcasting?
Yeah, because it becomes the best of both then, doesn't it?
So you've then got your on-demand, so everything that would come out on those things at a dead time, because you've got those that electric program guide, would automatically go on from all the channels you subscribe to your own personalised on-demand service. That would kind of cover your love of the broadcast and my love and your love of on-demand.
Online streaming.
Yeah. So they kind of do something similar with this with Freeview Play, and I don't know what the FreeSat one is. I think that was FreeSat Plus or something, but not internet-based. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Where would you think that would still work in this day and age? Would that be better? Would that be worse?
I think for younger generation, it'd be perfect, because I think a lot of people still like watching TV
as it is
terrestrial TV, but then obviously they also want the convenience of on-demand and streaming services. But then again, pensioners won't, because it's one problem is likely they won't understand it. They're too technical and they've only ever known TV. So you walk a boundary. So if you're only targeting mid-age young people, then it's fine. But if you want to target that older bracket, you've got some workarounds you need to work.
Well, because my idea was to make it work like a normal FreeSat box, so you could just go channel to make it work for these the older generations, shall we say. But then you have got the on-demand services and things like that. But that thing, you've also got the chance then for community groups like us to be able to go, do you know what? It's going to cost me £5 a month to set up my own TV stream. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. It's £5 a month. So you could have tons of community groups by adding on to that without all this infrastructure and things like that. Sorry, I've jumped someone. I've done it again. Sorry, I keep interrupting. So, Lee, what are your thoughts?
No, I think it's a good idea. Because at the moment, I'm actually having issues with my broadcasting. My TV's got not a single channel working.
Have you tried hitting it with a hammer? So from your perspective then, a TV streaming service like that with a set-top box would be a lot better for yourself.
It would be perfect.
Yeah. How about you, Bob?
Well, I only use like streaming services, really.
Mm-hmm.
I've quit watching like traditional TV maybe like even 10 years ago, unless I wanted to watch like a football match or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for me, it wouldn't matter that much, but I think it's a good idea to, you know, just marry two of opposite... kind of opposite philosophies.
I'd buy into it. It's a mix of both.
Fantastic.
no, what are you saying?
Sorry, don't mean to interrupt.
I was just saying that was all.
Oh, fantastic. So I could charge you all £3,000 a month and you'd be happy with that. Fantastic.
No.
I am quids in.
How much do you think, roughly, if this plan was to go? Do you think £5 would be enough, or do you think they would...
No, well, because...
Communities, you said, didn't you?
Yeah, £5 for communities to get onto the platform and stream their stuff on. because the business needs to make money one way or the other. So you do something similar like you do at the minute. You've got the free-to-air stuff, so you buy the box, you get access to these free-to-air channels, and then you get your Sky channels on
if
top.
If you're charging me more than Sky, you're done, mate.
Oh, no. Because we don't have that satellite infrastructure, we're not having to put satellites into space every 5 to 10 years, we're not having to give everybody a satellite dish, you've lost all that cost of infrastructure, so you can reduce your prices to your customers. So what do you pay for Sky at the minute? Well,
I don't pay a penny, but my old man, my uncle... I think he keeps moaning about it, it's like 50 quid.
Yeah. So imagine being able to reduce that down dramatically, say 25, 30 quid.
Even he still say that, but that's too much, but then again he's moaned at everything that he's for free. So for me that would be more reasonable than... Yeah.
Because then you've also got access to all that content there. You then have... You'd have your other subscriptions on top, which will work via plugins, similar to how Apple do with their Apple TV service at the moment. So you can buy a subscription from the app or the box or whatever. So if you want to expand out to other services like Netflix, Prime, you've got access to those there as well. And it'll just work in with your TV guide. That'd be quite nice.
If you had a TV service such as yours that integrated terrestrial with like streaming services, and those streaming services have... subscription fees, though, right? Would you have to pay the subscription fees, or would that be built
in? It would all depend on the deal that you could get with, say, right. Netflix or Prime. But what you could do is make it as part of the bill added on. So you say it costs you $9.99 a month for your Netflix, you pop that onto your bill and do like I know Apple do it with their in-app purchases. You could do the same type of thing. I thought that'd be quite interesting. We may have
even broker a deal with that, couldn't you? Say that half price.
How I'm trying to think where I was going with this now. Does anybody here, because I've got some notes here, but anybody actually understand how internet streaming works compared to normal TV works, or how normal TV works, to be honest?
My basic understanding is TV signals, terrestrial TV signals through the air, and then streaming through cables or Wi-Fi, isn't it?
Okay. Lee?
I have no idea.
But I hope you kind of know, because you put the link in there. So.
It's not really... I did not this video or links to discuss them, really, but just for informative reasons.
That was on the same line as Carl.
Yeah, I understand how physically it was. Mm-hmm.
So... we've kind of mentioned that. So just a bit of background from my point of view. As I mentioned, I've been researching this for my dissertation at the minute. So generally they follow the same principle. Get a camera or a video feed, pull it into a box that sends it via some form of technology to the customer's box, which then decodes it, and then it can watch it.
So I'm not far off.
You're not far off at all. It's quite similar. It's just that medium in between. So they use for terrestrial TV a DMUX unit or a MUXer or something like that. Sends it up. And then on Freeview, the way it works is you've got, for example, I think it's 6 or 8 MUXes which carry up to 10 channels each. So when you were saying you only get BBC channels or ITV channels, it's because only one of those MUXes is being picked up at a time for some reason, which is a bit odd. There we are, something to kick you out of a TV guy about. Whereas with the internet side of things, it's just a case of, right, we're going to turn this into a feed, and they will just send you tons. So you get a list of IP addresses with some digits, some numbers and letters after it.
So you're basically just limited by your bandwidth, your connection.
On the internet, you're just limited by bandwidth. But the upside to that is, as I mentioned earlier, you can get higher and higher resolutions and better quality. So if you've got an 8K TV, which have been released the last 12 months or so, which I don't think any of us have because they cost about 30 grand or something stupid, you can watch 8K footage so long as you have a fat enough pipe on your internet connection. Quickly move on to radio, because that's another type of broadcasting. Before I ask my question, a couple of facts. So 75% of all time audio listening in the UK is to live radio. Over 50% of all live radio is listened to via digital platforms.
Say that one again.
So 50% of all live radio is listened to on digital platforms, and 75% of all listening to audio is via live radio. Do you guys listen to radio, and how?
I listen to radio... not at home. When I'm in a car, I put it on. just because it's there and you background noise.
Radio is and car travels, journeys.
Generally, I listen to radio through means of like basically bog standard radio, and although that to me is now turned into an Alexa.
So you've gone from having the analog streams to digital then?
Yeah, anything through TV, which is vaguely similar, and also I have a phone on my app. An app on my phone. I shan't name it just in case. It's a basically worldwide radio streaming app, so you can listen to radio in any different country, in any different region in the world. So I get a bit more variety.
What about yourself, Matt?
I think I'm fully digital, and I don't really listen to like traditional radio. But for me, it would be case just like with Chris, just to have some background noise, maybe if I can't access my digital. So streaming service.
I've kind of. No, sorry.
When it comes to stuff like news, I would rather just read articles.
You know. I've kind of moved away from radio now myself, turned over to podcasts, because I know every time it's something that I'm interested in listening to. So most days are on the train when I bump into you two. You mostly see me taking my earphones out, putting them away because I'm partway through a podcast that I'll save from the way back. My final question, which I'm actually quite interested in your feedback for, is related to this statistic from Ofcom. Ofcom is called for the collaboration of competing companies in order to match online competitors' growing scale, that UK broadcasters join forces with each other or with third parties to share ideas and pool resources. The BBC and ITV have already kind of started doing this in America, and they're shortly about to bring their streaming service to the UK. What are your thoughts on this? Should there be one digital home of ITV, BBC, Channel 4, and those public service broadcasters working together? Or should they stay separate?
Would it not stifle competition?
I would say up until now, with traditional television, we had like cable providers, right? And they were providing you with some kind of content, and you could buy premium channels, right? What I think eventually is going to happen with the streaming services is just something similar, something that we see already on Amazon, right? Where Amazon is providing you some kind of content, and on the Fire TV you can buy separate channels and such. And I think it will just replace like our current business model with traditional TV.
Like yourself, Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, I can see where Bart's coming from, but it would be interesting to see them all
work together in pool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting
because you know it eventually you've got 10 quid for Netflix per month, right? 10 quid for Amazon. Now we will have probably 10 quid for Apple TV, for other services like that.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it will grow to the, you know, amount you have to pay for cable TV, something like that.
I can't see it happening, to be fair, because you've got something like BBC that's not ad-free, which is non-ads, and then you've got something like ITV that's ads, and how do you get them to work together when one wants ad and one wants don't? It's like, but also you said they brought BBC and ITV have had a streaming service in the States. Did you say British companies having a service in the States before they have it over? That's quite odd.
Yeah, that was my thought when I first heard about that.
Larger audience,
more
people to reach.
But British audiences are their main core, so why would they not do it here first?
Well, it's called BritBox, so I think, and it might be for the expats that are over there in America.
Right, okay.
I think that's how that kind of started, and then because obviously you can't get BBC iPlayer in any other country, so it's the only kind of way that BBC officially sanctioned this by doing this BritBox thing.
Interesting.
And now they're going to bring that to the UK, so it's a shared platform for BBC ITV, which could be quite nice, except for, in my view, ITV's programming is absolutely awful.
PC.
I said awful.
And I just jump in there before you say anything.
Yeah, I think the ITV's programme is absolutely awful. They produce to the lowest common denominator, whereas the BBC try and push their audience. I'm not sure where I stand on it, to be honest. I'm kind of on the fence.
The Night TV streaming service used to be free at one point.
Did at one point, yeah.
It's still free, isn't it?
Certain elements are.
Yeah, but I remember once going on to try it out, and half of them didn't have the rights to, so you weren't allowed to view them, but they were still there.
You've all got to have passcodes and things now, don't you? Even on like BBC now.
Because data is king.
Because data, yeah. And because private protection laws and something stupid, isn't it?
So, well, on that note, I think we'll wrap it up there for this week.
Yep.
Don't forget, you can find us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We've also got our own website, which is medialabs.uk. And finally, there's one thing we keep forgetting to mention every week. We've got this event coming up soon. Our conference and exhibition. This is the reason why we're doing this every week, to get you guys prepared for some of the topics we'll be talking about. So, from around 10:30 at Parkway Cinema in Beverley on the 17th of May, our conference and exhibition will be there. That's medialabs.uk. Yeah, you can go there and register for your tickets. Tickets are free, so I hope we'll see you there on the 17th. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favourite podcasting service. And
like
join
and
us.
Share.
Like and share this podcast and our other content on social media. Until next time, though, goodbye.